In loving memory of Eleanor Cecilia Barry McCrillo, June 8th, 1931 to June 16th, 2025. Rest in peace, Grandma. We love you so much. Hey there, and welcome back to Walsh Wednesday. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, and this is going to be a bit different than a regular episode. So this is the 25th episode of the revival of Walsh Wednesday. First of all, I just got to say thank you for being here through the 25 episodes, whether you watched them all or you just joined us recently. Greatly appreciate you. So you're going to get two Walshes for the price of one. And actually, I'm going to hand the cue cards over to my dad. He's going to be interviewing me this time around. Dad, you want to take it over, I guess?
Sure. I mean, it was recently after a gig that you had that we started coming up with the idea, at least I put out the idea, why don't we promote Connor? Connor's out there promoting everyone else here in the Hudson Valley. So why don't we find out what he's up to, what he's done, and what he's about to do?
Yeah, nope, sounds good. Plus, also, we have a lot of Q&A questions from people that submitted questions on Instagram, Facebook, and other means of social media that I put out there. Again, grateful for all the questions that we got. I'm excited to get into those later as well. But of course, we're going to start off with whatever my dad's got cooked up for me.
Yeah, I mean, people came up with all sorts of questions that they need to know about Connor. So I'm going to be asking them.
Beautiful.
Originally we thought maybe Connor doing his own thing, maybe being like the movie The Commitments, where he interviews himself with a brush in the bathroom.
He specifically even talks to a guy named Terry, and you're it, Terry.
It's great. Yeah. You got to see the movie. It's terrific. The lead character does that all throughout the movie.
What is it like? Well, Terry, you know, the way that the band is going about, yeah, I'm talking to Terry.
That's true. So here we go. We're going to find out everything we need to know about Connor in this episode.
Sounds good. Are we getting right into the cards, or do you have anything you wanted to ask first?
I think we'll get right into the cards.
Okay, let's do it.
I feel uncomfortable with this one, but God, show me your
I know exactly who wrote that one in, and you are banned. Shame on you. No. You know who you are. Next question.
Where do you record, and do you rent a studio?
No, don't rent a studio. We just do this here at home. This is our family room downstairs. I got the pipe and drape online. We have dividers in the back, and we have some studio lighting here. Got the the table I've had for a while. And then got the Shure MV7s here. That's definitely one of the big things. We got the camera, obviously. We're looking at that. Have everything running through Pro Tools on my laptop. Funny thing about the lighting, though, I know you noticed this on the earlier episodes, and I'm curious if anybody else did too. The battery powered lights that I got before the studio
lights,
where if you watch throughout the episode, the lighting dims because it's battery powered.
Yes.
And so it starts off really bright, and then by the end of the episode, it's like really dark. So then I had to invest in like actual, like, studio lighting, which has been working great, so I've been grateful
for
that.
They're beautiful. Very bright.
No, they are good.
All right, next question. What do you like more, radio or being on camera?
Oh God. Radio. I love radio more than being on camera, because like I don't have to worry about what I look like on the radio. You know, it was like, that was one of the things about doing this with Walsh Wednesday, of like, I knew I needed a video component in order to advertise and promote myself better, but I really didn't like the idea of doing that. It's like, oh shoot, I have to do my hair, or if I don't do my hair, at least wear the hat, and then I get the merch, all the merch. Walsh Wednesday merch store, by the way, show off yours. Very good.
There you go.
And yeah, no, it just goes to show you like how vain the whole like on camera industry is, and even when it is so nonchalant, like something like this, like how you still need to like keep your appearances up. Cause like at the radio station, you know, I'd be going in there at like 5 o'clock in the morning. I wake up at 4:30, roll out of bed, and I could still have crust in my eyes and drool coming down my mouth. And you know, I know it's not the greatest picture, but that's the point. Like none of us cared at the radio station. Nobody cared. Everybody showed up like that. Do you remember the second time I interviewed Bernie Williams at the radio station?
Yes.
So funny story about that. So we had already done the interview at Millbrook Winery, which, you know, we're planning to do another one real soon for this year. I'm really excited about that. But after that, we talked about doing something for His other, he talked about doing something for his charity, Tune Into Lung Health, for interstitial lung disease. And in doing that, it's like, all right, let's do this radio interview super early in the morning. And I just show up in hoodie, hat, you know, I rolled out of bed. They show up on the Zoom call. They have multicam, studio lighting. They're switching it from one camera to another, proper mics. And they say to me, it's like, you're going to be publishing the video portion of this, right? It's like, I guess I am now with my crappy studio webcam versus their full-on production. I wasn't the only interview they were doing that day. They were doing other TV interviews. So that's what that was all part of. But they also expected us to show the video online somewhere as well, along with doing it for the radio.
No.
So it looks terrible going back and forth between Bernie in his suit and perfect lighting and makeup to a grainy webcam in the studio with me just woken up.
Oh, no.
So to answer that question, I miss radio for that sense.
Next question. Where does the phrase spend some time come from?
Oh, yeah. So spend some time. That was a song I wrote. I think I wrote around the Grammys in 2015. I think it was like right before the Grammys, because I remember posting on social media is like, hey, I have this new song, like during the Grammys, because mm-hmm. I knew everybody would be online and posting stuff and tweeting and hashtagging the Grammys. So I was trying to promote it. But yeah, it was 2015. And Spend Some Time it's still one of my favorite songs that I've written. But I wanted a song that I could end a set with. I wanted something that could kind of wrap up the evening. I was really inspired by Jimmy Buffett's Live from Hawaii album, specifically how he ended with Stories We Could Tell. And it's a great song, and he just does it solo acoustic. And I was like, I want a song that could wrap up the evening, and what could that be? So I just ended up writing this love song, and it wasn't written for anybody other than the fact is like, I'm glad we get to spend some time. And, you know, that was the first song that I ever got on radio. That mm-hmm. was, I played that for a number of contests.
Yeah.
Did, you know, relatively well for an independent artist.
It was quite popular up at St. Rose with the student body when
yes.
you played that.
Well, that was the thing. It kind of became a meme amongst the student body and everything. Yeah. And it just kind of woven into the brand, and people would make jokes and be like, hey, Connor, we're glad we got to spend some time. And it's like, all right. So, you know, I just kind of adopted it and owned it in mm-hmm. that sense. And it became the catchphrase for the earliest iterations for Walsh Wednesday. And I would say it on the radio, and I still say it now. And again, I think it's just a great phrase to like sum up like, hey, you know, we just did whatever this event is or thing together. And hey, I'm glad we get to spend some time.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Now, some people were asking, how do you book some of your stars, especially like how did you book Bernie Williams?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's funny because a lot of people hit me up asking that like when the episode went live. What was that, episode 3 or 4? By the way, you were on that same episode.
That's true.
Yep. I do just got to say that more of my friends were commenting, oh, Terry Walsh, more than they were Bernie Williams at first, which I thought that was hilarious.
I'm not quite as famous as Bernie Williams. I haven't won 3 World Series.
And 4 All-Star MVPs and all that.
All that. In my mind, I did.
Every year for the NFL draft, he always goes, it's like, I need to see if I get drafted this year.
Maybe. No.
It's like, will this middle-aged kicker get drafted into the NFL?
Yes. No.
After the shock of, oh my God, Terry Walsh, they were like, oh, holy crap, you got Bernie Williams. Oh my God, that's a big deal.
That is a big deal.
And, you know, people were asking me a lot about that. In regard to Bernie Williams specifically, as I mentioned before, we did the interview at Millbrook Winery. Shout out to Millbrook Winery. Shout out to Impact PR and Communications. They were the one, Impact PR and Communications, Philomena Finelli, her team, and of course, they're one of our sponsors. Thank you again, guys. They contacted me when I was at the radio station. We did a lot of work for In Touch together, getting a lot of guests. And Bernie was doing a summer jazz concert there at Millbrook Winery. So they were a part of that doing PR. They hit me up and was like, Connor, would you like to do this? I'm like, heck yeah, I would love to do this. And it was such a great time. And we both went to it, and we mm-hmm. got to hang out with Bernie
yep.
in the back. And then we got to see the show, and his manager, Steve, such a nice guy. And we all hit it off really, really well. And
yep.
then that later led to the Tune Into Lung Health interview that I was talking about earlier. And then by the time I was laid off from the radio station in November, I reached out to a bunch of people that I worked with prior, including Bernie Williams, his manager, Steve. And I said, it's like, hey, I know I'm not with the radio station anymore. I know I don't have the same clout that I used to, but like, if you still have an interest in working together, I have this new program I'm trying to start up. Would you like to be a part of this? And Steve, the manager, and Bernie, they were very receptive to it. And Steve said many, many kind things, saying it's like, hey, we believe in you. We believe in what you're doing. You know, wherever you are, we believe in you, and we want to support you how we can. And they've all been very, very kind to me. And since then, you know, we had our interview. I just hung out with them a couple of weeks ago at the Inn at Belfield for that Q&A. It was nice to see them again, and I'll be seeing them again at Millbrook this year. So,
yeah.
So to a long story, but essentially with that one. The radio station helped out with that, and this really is an industry of who you know.
And then you developed a relationship, and then it's carried over.
Yeah, big time.
I want to bring up another one of your favorites was John Androsik.
Oh, yeah, Five for Fighting.
How did that come about, and how excited about that were you when you got to interview him and get to meet him?
That was actually so surreal. And it was so quick, too, how it happened, which was crazy, because... What was it? So when I was at the radio station, it kind of turned from me finding people to people finding me when it came to how I got guests. And because in the early days, when I first started doing In Touch, the public affairs and issues program, you know, nobody knew what In Touch was. And I had to really work tooth and nail to try to get people on and get interest. And it was tough in the beginning, but then by the time we got that first New York State Broadcasters Award, we started like booking out 2-3 months ahead. By the time I left, we were booking like 6-7 months ahead, which is pretty insane. And by that point, I had a lot of connections with PR agencies, Impact PR and Communications, one of them, Alan Miller PR, that's another big one, 37 Media, a number of other people as well. Art Sears, that was his name. It started actually by getting an interview with Teresa Caputo, Long Island Medium. Somehow, some way, I got included on like an email chain of just a, you know, radio stuff. And Teresa Caputo was awesome. And when I called in, the PR agent, his name was Art, and he says, like, why do I not know you? Why aren't you on my list? I'm going to get you on my list and get you all these people. And I was like, oh, that sounds awesome. I would love that. And so, again, that Teresa Caputo interview was fantastic. And now we're getting a lot of celebrities, a lot of people from outside of New York. So that's how Town Square Spotlight branched out of In Touch. And then I think it was just a random weekend. Art sent an email saying that he was sending stuff out for Five for Fighting. And Five for Fighting being like one of my favorite artists ever, Superman, It's Not Easy, being one of my favorite songs. You rocked me to sleep to that as a kid. It was beautiful. I was the biggest Superman fan as a 3-year-old. So there's a song, Superman, It's Not Easy.
Yeah.
And then besides that, 100 Years, The Riddle, Chances. We love the album Slice and Bookmarks.
Yeah.
A lot of great stuff on that. And I think it was a matter of just like a day or two later. It's like, hey, we're doing a radio tour. You want to get in on this? It's like, heck yeah, I want to get in on this. So the first one was just a radio interview over phone. I don't get to see him. He doesn't see me. We just talk over the phone. But it was so surreal and really neat, you know, because who would have thought like 24 years later, I'd be speaking to one of my favorite artists that like essentially like sang me to sleep every night.
Right.
Which is really cool.
It would be, daddy, we got to dance tonight.
Yep.
And he would jump up in my arms. We put that Superman song on and off we went.
Yep. And then at the very, very end, when he gets to, I'd be like, shh, daddy, this is my part. It's not easy to be me at the very end.
Right.
So it was then, and I continued to do a lot of work with Art Sears, but after that initial interview, I got in touch with 37 Media with Julie. And Julie and I, that was the very beginning of our relationship. And Julie does a lot of PR specifically for Five for Fighting. The way that Art worked, he was kind of like an intermediary, but Julie with 37 Media specifically works directly with Five for Fighting, mm-hmm. along with a number of other artists. So it was through art I met Julie, and then Julie continued to book Five for Fighting with me. Mm-hmm. And that's how we had like the 30-minute Zoom interview that I did for Town Square Spotlight later. And then that's how we got the Tarrytown Music Hall interview, where we got to go to Tarrytown Music Hall to see the concert, which was
great.
So cool. And to hang out with them backstage, the music was phenomenal. I teared up a little bit when they played The Riddle in 100 Years. It really was such a surreal experience. And so then to have then the new program, very similar story to Bernie Williams reaching out to Julie, is like, hey, I don't have the radio program anymore, but I have Welsh Wednesday if you want to hop on board with that. And fortunately, both Julie and John were very receptive to the whole thing. You can even watch that interview with John, and John even talks about congrats on the new program. That's kind of how we start the whole interview, which is really cool.
Yeah.
They say it's like, don't meet your heroes kind of things because they'll disappoint you. But, you know, I lucked out with, you know, having a very good relationship with John. To be on a first name basis with him,
it's kind of weird.
It's weird. Like when you have like certain people say your name, like John Ondrasik of Five for Fighting, or Bernie Williams, or back at the radio station, Tony Danza was another one. Right. When it was like when they would say Connor, and you know, like you get that chill down your spine. It's like they know my name. Oh my god, you know. So there is something kind of magical and wild about it, and. Since I brought up Tony Danza real quick, he too was so neat to talk to as mm-hmm. well. That was back at the radio station, not for Welsh Wednesday. But it's something about all these guys, Bernie, Tony, John, any of them, you know, there's a reason why they've reached the level that they have, because you do feel comfortable around them. You do want to like hang out and talk to them mm-hmm. and be their friend. And it was just so funny. Like Tony Danza, he would be like, Connor, you're never going to believe this. You feel like a friend when they're talking to you like that. And John saying, it's like, congratulations, Connor, always need something fun on a Wednesday. It's like, I don't know. Obviously I'm not to the levels of fame that they are at or of professionalism, but you know, that's a long-winded answer, but it's been a lot of fun.
So, you know, with your new Welsh Wednesday, how do you get your guests on for the show?
Yeah, I think it's a mix of what it was like at the radio station. You know, some of it is I find them. Some of it is they find me. You know, at least with Welsh Wednesday, kind of, you know, bringing this back and doing it independently and starting my own business, you know, had to take a lot of leaps, and a lot of it was the relationships that I already had. And since I had developed a lot of relationships through the radio station, I was able to carry a lot of that over. Not just that, people I've worked with either in theater, people I've worked with in music, just friends of mine that are just like cool people. So a lot of the last 25 episodes are just a lot of people I just happen to know mm-hmm. in life. There really aren't a lot of guests that I never met prior. There's only a handful, you know, mm-hmm. where, you know, a PR agency might send me somebody. But again, that's a PR agency that I know and have worked with mm-hmm. for a while. So at least I already have that level of familiarity. But and then also a lot of cold emails, a lot mm-hmm. of cold emails saying, it's like, hey, would you like to be on this? And I have been rejected by Gabriel Iglesias' manager, by All American Rejects' manager. I'm just excited that they email me back. You know, it's like, you took the time to say no? Thank you. Because many a time you don't hear anything from anybody. So, you know, it's really nice. Lin-Manuel Miranda. That wasn't, funny enough, I've interviewed his dad when his dad put out a book. But Lin-Manuel Miranda, whoever it was from his office who wrote me back, wasn't just like, sorry, we'll have to pass, just like a one-liner. No, they sent like a whole letter, which was really nice and sweet. It was like the sweetest way to ever be turned down.
And I terrorize Connor like once a week with a list of people that I come up with just random in my head that I go, you got to get these people on the show. And Connor goes, they don't quite fit my demographic. But
or not so much the demographic. It's like, how the hell do you think I'm going to get these guys?
True.
Actually, one of them did answer back. And hopefully there will be an episode with that person very shortly. that information to come in the near future. So,
yeah. So I might have one person that I thought of that Connor might be getting.
Yeah. So we're excited about that. I hope that comes into fruition. We started emailing. We are actually talking. So hopefully we'll see that in the near future.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
So the next question is, why don't you warn the people ahead of time that their outfits will blend in with the curtain?
Harrison, I know you wrote this one. Hey, that was your choice to come in that blue shirt. Yes, I know. We have the blue curtain. I probably should say something. And I know I'm wearing the blue hoodie right now. But now I have backlighting. So hopefully that makes a difference and I don't look like I am just one with the curtains. Yeah, the reason I have backlighting is because of you, Harrison. So thank you.
So right now, do you make any money off the podcast?
Yes, I do, actually. Not as much as I would love to be making off of it, but I do actually make some money off of this, as we've talked about many times, Dad. So when you go into each episode and I say, this episode of Walsh Wednesday is sponsored by, and everybody who's a part of it, you've seen my dad's business, a part of that Walsh Valuation, but you see the Southern Dutchess and Northern Dutchess community coalitions, you see Impact PR and Communications, Locks That Rock, Touch of Naples, Day Rock, Walsh Valuation. I don't think I'm forgetting anybody. A couple of people have put in for like one-off episodes like the American Heart Association or Alzheimer's Association or Dutchess Beer Distributors. But I believe it's those six, you know, have a long-running campaign with me. And what I do, I sell advertising so they could sponsor for various tiers. And then you could get like X amount of ad time in the middle of the episode as well. Mm-hmm. Trying to get more sponsors. So if anybody would like to sponsor an episode or several episodes or 6 months or a whole year, you know, we have different tiers for that. Would definitely appreciate speaking to any local businesses about that. Happy to speak. And I can create the commercial for you. Besides that, you know, Walsh Wednesday is only one part of CMJW Entertainment. When I got let go from the radio station, I was just kind of left wondering, what the heck am I going to do? So that's why I started the business, to kind of like have an umbrella for all the various things that I do. So besides the podcast, I have the music, the DJing, the live sound, the graphic design, the voiceovers, the narrating, the all these different other facets. Mm-hmm. Editing for other people, creating ads for others, whether it's a single frame design or a video or radio ad, podcast ad, something along those lines. So I'm making money through the business that way. Again, you know, we're only in the first 6 months of it. So really trying to build up and work on some things. But I've been grateful for all the folks that I've been able to work with, all the organizations and individuals who have stuck around with me when I did go on my own, and for who have come on since, those who believe in me. And it's definitely very difficult running your own business, as you know, running yours.
Yes.
And it's stressful. It really is. It pretty much takes up all my mental space and time. But, you know, it is rewarding when things work out and when you see things progress, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully bigger and better things to come.
Hopefully we will actually have a studio like by next year. That would be nice.
People want to know, why did you end up leaving WRRB?
Okay, yeah. So that's a big misconception, because a lot of people notice. It's like, Connor, I'm not seeing your articles anymore. I'm not hearing on the radio. Why'd you leave? It's like, I didn't leave. I got laid off. So, but a lot of people don't realize that or didn't hear the story. So, yeah. So back in November, it was actually right after Election Day. The reason why a number of media companies decided to do this, it wasn't just Town Square. iHeart did it too. CNN, NBC, Fox, various news outlets decided to do company-wide layoffs that week because they knew it would go underreported since the election was taking all the headlines. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, Town Square, from the information that I'm aware of, laid off hundreds of employees. I happen to be one of them, one of the couple in our building, but one of the many that was across the whole company. And, you know, one thing about doing programs like In Touch, I was very much involved with the community and I was invited to a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Literally the day after I got laid off, I was going to a banquet for the Regional Food Bank of New York. Mm-hmm. So I'm meeting all these presidents, CEOs, business leaders in the area, And they'd be like, hi, who are you? It's like Connor Walsh, unemployed. And John Burton from the Home From Here podcast, I talked to him about this and he said, I could tell you who I was last week. I thought that was a good line. And then I was going to an award ceremony, like literally less than a week after as well, for Dutchess Tourism, now Destination Dutchess. And I was being introduced to people and they were like, oh, it's a shame I didn't meet you sooner. We could have gotten you this person. Actually, somebody from the Stissing Center is like, okay. Oh, darn. Wish we met you like a month earlier. We could have gotten you Alan Cumming.
I'm
like,
oh, jeez.
I know, right? It's like, and especially now that he's reprising his role as Nightcrawler in Marvel. Like, right. Big time. He's also hosting Traitors right now, too.
Yeah.
And at the time, he was coming through to the Stissing Center to do like a solo show. I think it was like a review of music, of different shows that he's been in.
Mm-hmm.
I would have loved to have talked to Alan Cumming.
Oh, yeah.
I digress. But so here I was kind of at a crossroads here. Before I got laid off by the radio station, I was already putting in for so many jobs and not hearing back. Mm-hmm. You know, we're in a terrible job market right now, unfortunately. It's a terrible job market. It's a terrible housing market. You know, somebody who just graduated in 2020 into the pandemic, there's not a lot of opportunities, regardless of how hard, you know, one tries.
Yeah, and you even interviewed outside the area and nothing quite came of it.
And it's a shame. So, and I've always had the mindset of, if the opportunity isn't there for you, make the opportunity for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So then I was like, all right, screw it. I'm starting my own business. And CMJW Entertainment was born.
Well, that kind of happened to me about 3 years ago when my company, the bosses decided to retire. And I'm like, we had the opportunity to buy the business, but the other three partners decided no, they were going in different directions. And I'm like, oh, what am I going to do now? The only thing I know how to do is appraise.
Because so, how many years have you been doing it? 30 plus 40 years?
Yeah. So it's like, all right, we're going out on our own and see what happens. And if we lose the house, we lose the house. Oh, you know, it's like, what are we going to do?
And that was right in the middle of the pandemic, too.
Yeah.
So there really wasn't many places to go.
But thank God it worked out, and we still have the house and we still have the studio here.
Well, it is funny, as like if you did see our other interview together, the house has become more of an office building with my studio downstairs and Dad's office upstairs. So,
true.
So yeah, we have all that going on.
So why did you bring back Walsh Wednesday?
Oh, I think that's pretty much essentially answering it there. It was just kind of more out of desperation and a necessity, because it was like, I had, just as you said, after how many years of you doing real estate appraising, it's like, what else am I going to do? This is what I've been doing for so long.
Yeah, Connor has talked for 27 years.
Well, it's more than just talking. There is a skill to asking the questions and interviewing somebody.
That is true.
And I was already building up a reputation for myself, and I was building up, you know, a career there over at Town Square, and having this collection and network of people, and just to see it all kind of disappear would be such a shame. So it's like, let me tap into this. Let me utilize this and try to do something with this and show where I can go with the ideas that I have.
And as you open every Walsh Wednesday, you kind of talk about the chronology of it, starting in high school, working through college, going to the radio station, and now out on your own.
Yeah, no, I can get into that a little bit more. Yeah, so Walsh Wednesday was something that I did in high school. That was a performance that I would do in the cafeterias. I was kind of peer pressured by some friends into doing it because I had the guitar with me one day for a chemistry project, of all things.
Yeah.
It was for extra credit for a chemistry project. It was on the elements. My element was Krypton, so I rewrote the lyrics to Three Doors Down's Kryptonite to make it work. I got the extra credit, so that worked out. Thanks, Mr. Krajewski. But immediately after, I had my guitar in the cafeteria, and they're like, Connor, play something. It's like, nobody wants to hear it. And eventually, some other friends from other tables like, play something. It's like, Connor. So I just don't know what came over me, but I just ran up onto the cafeteria tables. I'm standing on them, dancing on them, playing songs. And I told it was a Monday. I told everybody, hey, the guitar will be back on Wednesday. And then on social media, everybody's like, can't wait for hashtag Walsh Wednesday. I didn't even come up with the name. Mm-hmm. It's kind of disputed who came up with the name.
True.
Nobody can agree on who's the first one to like post it, tweet it, whatever. And then that was the thing I did all through high school. And then in college, it became a video series. and mostly interviewing people on my campus, but did get some big names, you know, had 303, had right. Jay Sean, mm-hmm. Had, that's where I first met Ash Taylor right. as well. Guinness World Record winning, Guinness World Record holding pianist Ethan Bortnick with Celebration mm-hmm. of Music through that competition. Got to, it was kind of crazy. Did get some heavy hitters in the midst of that too. But then, and then during the pandemic, you had the Walsh Wednesday Reflective Series where I had to tone it down a bit because it was the pandemic. What are you going to do? Mm-hmm. And that was a lot more music and mindfulness. And then when I got the radio job, the radio took over. But essentially, I would say Walsh Wednesday was essentially what I was doing with In Touch and Town Square Spotlight.
Right.
It was pretty much very similar to what I was doing. That's why I got the job in the first place. They mm-hmm. liked my background in broadcasting and podcasting. So that's how that worked. And then when getting laid off by the radio stations, like, all right, we're bringing Walsh Wednesday back. So there we go. And 25 episodes in, and I think we're have five more filmed up to this point.
Good.
And more to come, a lot more scheduled. So
good.
Excited to see where the rest of the year goes. I also have some fun ideas for the fall, so stay tuned for that.
What did you like best about being a radio personality?
I think being a radio personality or a podcast personality, just being a broadcaster in general, you know, I think it all comes together. It's really the people that you meet and the stories that you get to tell. Because there is something that Joe Daly, the morning mayor of the Hudson Valley, 92.1, mm-hmm. we love Joe. Something that I remember him saying at my eighth grade graduation. You remember he was our keynote speaker at that?
Yeah, he was great.
He was great. And I remember he talked about the magic of the microphone. And saying when he would listen to the radio with his grandfather, talk about like the, it was like a, like the microphone was made of gold and there's the magic to the microphone and it's able to broadcast and speak to people in a very specific way and how you could be in your car or in your house by yourself, but somebody else out there is listening at the same time. And there's a sense of community that way. And same goes for podcasting too. Like that could be happening right now with this episode. Somebody could be listening or watching right now at the same time as somebody else. And that's its own community as well. And just the way that you can spread messages and especially positivity too. You know, I feel like we're so divided when it comes to the media. There's so much of a false narrative and there's so much anger, you know, out there. So when you can bring a little bit of positivity to the microphone, like it really does a lot to brighten somebody's day. And I know I get to learn a lot from it myself too.
Well, that was one of your frustrations with radio too.
Yeah.
That you couldn't be the Joe Daly. You were kind of pigeonholed in a corporate, this is the way you have to do this. This is how you introduce the song. And you couldn't really apply your personality as much as you would like.
No. And that's very true because the days of, you know, the Joe Dalys, at least here, you know, in the Northeast, you know, maybe it's better in other parts of the country, but at least in this region, you know, you don't see a lot of that anymore because there aren't a lot of independent radio stations. A lot of them are part of conglomerates. It is very corporatized at this point, and it's very cookie cutter to the point where you're essentially saying the same thing as the host that came on before you. One of the reasons why people listened to the radio was for the personalities. Mm-hmm. There was a personality. There was a shtick. There was something about it, whether you played games or there was a certain segment you did or something to your character. You know, there was something about it. And unfortunately, something that I was seeing with the radio station, not just my radio station, but other local ones too, it all became very canned. You know, it all became very scripted.
It used to be the DJs would pick the music off possibly the list that was given by the program director.
We didn't even get
to
pick anymore.
Well, you don't get to pick. It all came from corporate.
Yep.
And this is what you're playing this week.
Yeah.
And it's tough.
We had our brand managers, of course, who would, you know, playlist things out. But exactly what you said, they got all of it from corporate. And essentially, it was just a template. Heck, I could listen to certain radio stations and tell you, it's like, if one artist is playing, I'll be like, this artist is playing next. And 9 times out of 10, I'm right. Mm-hmm. Just because I've gotten so used to, you know, the way that it all gets spaced out.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a shame. And I think that is one of the reasons why people have turned to podcasting, why they've turned to streaming, why they've turned to that, because they can make it more personalized. And not to say that radio was or wasn't personalized at that point, because it's still trying to hit a general audience, but there was a connection, you mm-hmm. know. Take your Mark Bolgers or your Coop and Tobins or your Joe Dalys, Joe and Michelle, you know, like, take all that.
Mm-hmm.
They were fostering a community and they had their personalities at the forefront.
Definitely.
And that's what people enjoyed. And people felt like they were in the studio with them and felt like you were a friend.
Sure.
And I think that's one of the big things. And I don't know if you can get that now, at least not the way that the stations were, at least the way that they were making us do things. It felt very impersonal. And if that's something I could change about radio, I would bring back that quote unquote old fashioned style. I don't think it's old fashioned to be authentic and genuine.
Sure.
But unfortunately, I think there's a lot of stuff in the media in all different forms saying otherwise. You know, like you have filters on social media making things fake. Everything's very over edited. The rise of AI taking over the creative field. I think there's a lot of things that kind of are taking away the human element of it when I think that's exactly what we need. Take the Superman movie that's coming out. Again, I'm biased. I'm a huge Superman fan. But take Superman. Superman movies, or Superman, has always been at his peak when society has needed him most. He debuted in 1938 during World War II. He was truth, justice, and the American way. Then when George Reeves in the 50s, you know, you're looking at early days of Cold War, and he's a symbol for the American people. Then take the 70s. If you look at the 70s and the way that pop culture, media, news, everything was going about, you're having issues when it came to the geopolitical landscape. You had Watergate. You had things like that. You had, what was that, Vietnam War too. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of distrust. And then if you look at the movies and TV shows coming out of that time, it was very gritty. Superman was this ray of hope in the 70s. And this is a trend that just keeps coming around. Superman movies coming out right now, you could say we're at a time where it's really crazy for a lot of things all along the planet. And a lot of people say that Superman is too old-fashioned, too much of the big blue Boy Scout, and he's unrelatable. No, he's that symbol to strive for. He's yeah. that thing that we can look up to. In the marketing, they keep saying look up.
Mm-hmm.
Look up to mm-hmm. the sun. Look up to the sky. And I think I feel very similarly when it comes to broadcasting. I feel that way about telling stories. It's not old-fashioned to be kind, to be genuine, to be authentic, and to show the best that we have to offer.
Well, you and I have both traveled up and down the East Coast
yeah.
in our cars. And, you know, I always would enjoy listening to different radio stations.
Yeah.
But now all the radio stations sound the same
mm-hmm.
because they're all owned by one or two or three
all different the same
conglomerates.
Companies. Yeah.
And the music is coming from corporate somewhere in the Midwest.
You can literally switch from one channel to another and they're playing the exact same
yeah.
song.
So, yeah. Well, now, I have one other story that I thought was cute.
Yeah.
When you were a radio personality and you would record your show for the weekend.
Yeah.
You were in a convenience store one time checking out and you were talking. And a little kid behind, "Daddy, Daddy, that's him on the radio," you know.
Yeah, so, no, that was a funny story. I did like that a lot. So I was at K&D Deli when this happened. Shout out to K&D. We love those guys. And, yeah, WRRV was on. It was my morning show. And I'm in there ordering a sandwich. And at the same time as me ordering, I'm talking over the radio. And the little kid goes to his dad. He's like, "That guy sounds just like the guy on the radio." And the dad's just like, "I guess a little." And I overhear all of it. And I'm just kind of snickering. It's like, "You have no idea." that was a fun time. I liked kind of having that. I wasn't technically recognized, but kind of like almost like inadvertently or secondhand recognized. But I thought that was hilarious.
So do you miss the radio?
There are elements of it that I miss, but I think majority of the things that I love most about it, I get to do with Walsh Wednesday. Again, it is the storytelling aspect of it all. I do miss some of my coworkers, of course. Mm-hmm. Dan, I still hang out with plenty, or I'll try to message Eric or Alex or Tig when I can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Patty was kind of like the godmother to us all, too. Right. You know, so you miss the people that you worked with. And, you know, we were talking about how kind of like feeling neutered when it came to your personality. Everybody there in that radio station had a big personality.
That's how they got into the business to begin with.
Exactly. So the fact that that personality was from everybody was unfortunately being reined in more and more and more, and less of it was being seen, was really a shame. Honestly, you could make a sitcom out of all the people that worked at Town Square when I was working there, because we had some really crazy characters and I love them all.
Yeah, WKRP in Cincinnati all over again. It was a sitcom of a radio station back in the late 80s, early 90s.
Oh, why am I trying to remember who was in that? There were some good names in that.
Lonnie Anderson was in it. And there's a couple other people. I can picture their faces, but to get their names, I'd have to look it up.
But yeah, I do remember that was the show. It was a good show.
Yeah.
I watched the reruns.
The next question is, why is Connor Walsh?
I ask myself that question all the time.
The next question is, why should I care?
Kind of rude, but I guess whoever wrote that in. But you know what? Actually, that's something that I thought about a lot. What is it? Like, why should somebody care? Like, what sets what I'm doing apart from anybody else? And I think that's something that a lot of creatives kind of like sit and ponder with and like really have to worry about sometimes. And now it's kind of kept me up at night a lot of times, actually. But, you know, to answer this question, especially in regards to Walsh Wednesday, I want to like talk about music, for example. You know, I've said this forever. I want to be the soundtrack to other people's lives, like my favorite artists have been for me. You know, I want to be on that playlist that somebody's listening to at midnight, pulling an all-nighter for a school project. You know, I want to be that song that you're shouting at the top of your lungs with your friends in the car. I want to be that song that sings you to sleep when there are tears in your eyes, things along those lines. That's what I mean by wanting to be the soundtrack of your life. I want to offer something that meets every milestone and every occasion. So, you know, some people out there are wondering, it's like, so how does that apply to Walsh Wednesday? Well, I want to introduce you to the soundtrack of your life. And when I say that, I don't mean just simply music, but I mean like what drives the rhythm of your heart. Maybe, just maybe, like in a 30-minute conversation, you'll get set on the path that you're supposed to be on in life. Maybe you'll hear your next favorite artist. Maybe you'll hear about some organization or cause that inspires you so much and fulfills your life. And that is like, I need to be a part of this. You know, maybe you just become so passionate about something that you hear about, or you hear someone else's story and that inspires you to take action and write your own, metaphorically speaking, or literally tell your story, write it down or talk about it, you know. But at the end of the day, I'm a storyteller and everybody has a story to tell. So I'm just blessed that I still get to do this, that I still get to tell these stories, because as I said before, there's something about being kind, being authentic, and being genuine. And, you know, at the end of the day, I'm glad I get to spend some time.
I understand. And just recently, Connor, you had Kat Ridgway on.
Oh, yeah. Love Kat.
And
shout out to Kat.
I fell in love with her.
I know. You love her music.
I love her music.
I do too, but like, you listen to it a lot.
Her energy. And I listen to YouTube a lot while I work.
Yep.
And so now I'm done a deep dive into all of her music and found all of her videos that I can find.
Yep.
And I'm having a ball, you know, discovering a new artist.
Yep.
That I found through Walsh Wednesday.
There you go.
Yeah. So tell the people what you've been doing lately. You've had a couple of gigs lately. You've been out doing DJing. Tell them about that and what you have coming up in the near future. So
yeah, they can
find you.
Yeah, so of course. Well, with CMJW Entertainment, people can hire me for DJing. I have a number of parties coming up. I have, I'm doing a couple of resorts too. So that's really fun, getting to meet a lot of different people that way. I just got to play at Heritage Financial Park. Got to do that for Father's Day, of course.
That was great.
That was a lot of fun doing that, playing for the Hudson Valley Renegades. That was really cool. But I got more gigs coming up. You know, been doing a lot with Planet Fitness lately. They're opening up a lot of stores around here, mm-hmm. and I'm playing a lot of the grand openings, which is cool. So, shout out to Alyssa and that whole team. Let's see, other things coming up.
You're also available for weddings.
Yes, also available for weddings. That's a fun thing. So you can hire me for practically your entire wedding. I'm a wedding officiant. I do cocktail hours for solo acoustic performances, and I can DJ your wedding. I can do all three and I got special prices for all of them. So I am an official officiant. I am certified. So we have all that. So that's a lot of fun. I would love to do some more weddings. I did it before. It was a lot of fun. I've been also speaking at a lot of schools, whether like keynote speeches or career days or things along those lines. And I'm finding that I really love it. Me talking behind a mic? Oh my God.
Yeah, but I'm the one his mom and I kissed the Blarney Stone. He got all the...
I inherited all of it. Yep. The gift of gab, all of that.
Yep, exactly. It passed over our generation and went directly to him.
Yep. So have a lot of things going on along those lines. You know, that's pretty much the main thing. I want to get back into recording sometime soon. Obviously, I've been sitting on music for an album for a while now. Never going to be a hit. And I got all this new music that I want to sit down and record. I haven't had the time. That's the thing about starting a business. Like, some things have to be put on the back burner, and it's kind of rough. But I definitely want to get back to that, and I want to continue recording. There are also some film projects that I'm working on, either stuff that I've started with friends, or I was just Frank Palangi, who you've seen on this program. He's invited me to act in a few of his things, so you'll hear my voice, or actually one scene I am showing up in person, or maybe one scene where you can see my face, I'm showing up in person. I'll let you figure out the rest. But there's a lot of cool things coming down the pipeline, and I'm grateful for all the opportunities. And to be able to stay up to date with all of that, you can go to cmjwentertainment.com. That's the website. You can go to Linktree Walsh Wednesday. And we have... Let's see, what else? And then, of course, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube under CMJW Entertainment or Connor Walsh Music. Of course, all the links and information will be included in the description of this episode, just like every other one. So that's where people can go.
Right. So advertise, become a Patreon, contribute.
Yeah, join the Patreon. There is a Patreon, too. You can go on. Thank you for saying that. Yeah, there is a Patreon that you can support. There's a GoFundMe that you can support as well. And, of course, you can sponsor episodes. So happy to...
Or hire Connor for any kind of party or activity that you have.
Yes, that'd be good. I'm ready to spend some time with all of your live and recorded entertainment and media needs.
I'm Terry.
And I'm Connor.
And as always, we're glad we got to
spend some time.
Yeah.
It's weird being on the other side of that.
Yeah.
I'm the ad ref, calling a timeout on this week's episode to tell you about our sponsors.
Baseball has umps, you idiot.
I don't have an umpire outfit, okay? Sue me. Hey there, I'm the ad ref, calling a timeout on this week's episode to tell you about our sponsors. Next up to the plate, we have our friend Philomena Finelli from Impact PR and Communications. Philomena?
Thanks, Connor. I'm Philomena Finelli, CEO of Impact PR and Communications and a media maven, which is a fancy way of saying that my team and I help companies get in the news, transform leaders into thought leaders, and cut through the clutter with messaging that matters. And we do it all with a smile. Our agency was named the Woman-Owned Small Business of the Year for 2024 by the Metro New York District Office of the U.S. Small Business Administration, and we received the Gold Stevie Award for Women-Run Workplace of the Year, which is an international recognition. But it's not about the awards, it's about the personal interactions. We at Impact PR and Communications pride ourselves on crafting meaningful, results-driven public relations campaigns that are tailored to meet and exceed our clients' goals. If you want to learn more and talk to my team and I, visit PRwithimpact.com and let us know that you found out about us from Walsh Wednesday.
Before we throw it back to the ad ref, just want to give a quick shout out to our friend Marty Wendell, who just released his album Telecaster Cowboy. For more information on his music and his upcoming tour dates, please visit MartyWendell.com. That's enough out of me. Play ball! This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by Impact PR and Communications, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Dayrock, Lockset Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, and Walsh Valuation. So, to wrap up this episode, I recently did the keynote speech at the ITS and Tri-M induction ceremony at my alma mater, FDR High School. Tri-M is Modern Music Masters, and ITS is International Thespian Society. It was a real honor to go back and speak to all the kids, and it was really neat to interact with the students and the families afterwards and just be able to talk shop, talk about the arts, talk about music, talk about theater, broadcasting, whatever that might be. And funny enough, I've ran into a few of the students, especially one of them, multiple times afterwards. It was a lot of fun. And I wanted to show the video of the speech, but unfortunately the audio was just too eh. Unfortunately, I guess there was a radiator or fan was clicking. It was just too much background noise. So instead of showing you the original video, which I wish I could show to you now, I'm just going to recite the speech over again. So I'm going to be looking at this off of my prompter. No, I did not memorize this whole thing. So bear with me. I'm going to do the best I can. But I think this is good for anybody who's, you know, graduating or moving on up or, you know, just trying to find themselves right now. So I hope you enjoy this speech. This was my FDR High School keynote speech for ITS and Tri-M inductions. So who here is a musician? Raise your hand. All right, very good. How many people are actors? Okay, great. How many of you guys are involved with stage crew? All right, this next one's a little bit out of left field, but how many of you guys are into improv comedy like the show Whose Line Is It Anyway? All right, you can put your hands down. I won't put you through any more acrobatics. The one thing that connects each of those cases, whether you're a musician, an actor, a comedian, or stage crew, is the ability to improvise. As a musician, sometimes you have to improvise solos. As an actor, sometimes you have to improvise scenes. As a comedian, you have to improvise crowd work and material right on stage. And as a crew member, you have to improvise when things go awry backstage. The very first musical I was ever in was a production of Fiddler on the Roof Jr. in fifth grade. I played Fietka, the eventual husband to Tevye's youngest daughter, Chava. What's supposed to happen in the scene is that Fietka defends her from a group of taunting Russians on the street. They start talking, he offers her a book, they kind of flirt, and eventually the tailor interrupts the conversation. Now, on opening night, the kid who was playing the tailor never came out. We finished our lines and we had nothing left to say. I froze up. I was scared. I had no idea what to do. This was my first show. The actress who was playing Chava was a couple years older than me, and I don't think she liked the idea of playing opposite a fifth grader, so she was kind of checked out of the role. There was no help from her. There was no help from anybody. It was one of the worst experiences of my life up to that point. Somebody in the audience, during the silence, yelled out, "Talk about the book!" which got a laugh from the crowd. I didn't know it then, but that was one of the greatest pieces of hidden advice that I was ever going to get in life. Turns out the tailor was in the bathroom eating a sandwich. No, that's not a euphemism for anything. He was literally in a stall eating a Subway footlong. They eventually found him, threw him on stage, and we finished the scene. Not a great way to have your first show go, huh? I remember thinking later that night that I wish I came up with something to say. I wish I didn't succumb to the pressure and freeze. I wish I knew how to regain power in a situation that made me feel powerless. For those of you who have no idea who I am, here's the obligatory "Who am I?" part of the speech. My name's Connor Walsh, owner and founder of CMJW Entertainment, and host and producer of the award-nominated talk show, The Walsh Wednesday Podcast. As for my time here in high school, I graduated from FDR back in 2016. And I know what you're thinking. He graduated in 2016? How's that possible? He looks so old. And I know, trust me, I looked old even back then. My friends got me a birthday cake for my 18th birthday that wrote, "Happy 45th. But yes, I graduated from FDR in 2016. I too was a member of Tri-M and ITS, being involved with Presmen, fall plays, spring musicals, audio and lighting crew, concert choir, and more. Since graduating FDR, I received awards and recognition for my original music and for radio broadcasting. I've worked for entertainment companies, including PBS and Town Square Media, along with live music venues such as the Masary Center and Troy Music Hall. I've had the pleasure to work on TV show sets, do some voice acting, narrate and produce audiobooks, and even a little professional theater. So why am I giving you my resume? Is it because I'm trying to look cool in front of a bunch of high schoolers? Yes, absolutely. But the main reason I'm telling you this stuff is because majority of it was never part of the plan. Yes, I went to college for music. That was certainly a part of the plan. As of January of 2020, the plan was to graduate college, go on my first US tour as a solo headlining musician, move into an apartment, and then start a management role at a concert hall promised to me when I returned from tour. That's not some hypothetical dream. That was actually what was supposed to happen for me in 2020. The tour was booked, the lease was signed, and the contract was made. And then I don't have to tell you what happened later by March of that year. Personally, I lost my job, I lost the apartment, and I lost the tour. I had to move back home, I became the caregiver for my ailing grandparents, and I felt like my life was going nowhere. I felt like everything I worked towards was ripped out from under me in a matter of seconds. Just like that time in fifth grade, I felt powerless. For you guys, most of you are either in middle school or just about to start high school. I can't even imagine what that must have been like for you. I give you guys a lot of credit and I commend your resilience. You know, one thing that you were able to do that that inexperienced fifth grader and Fiddler on the Roof wasn't able to do is improvise. Your parents had to improvise what to do at home. Your teachers had to improvise their lessons. Coaches had to improvise their seasons, and you and your friends had to improvise your relationships and studies in one of the most unprecedented periods in recent human history. None of it was easy, and I can only imagine the struggles that each one of you went through. A pandemic was far from the plan. You were told you had to do one thing, and then the entire universe had a completely different idea. In the last 5 years since the COVID pandemic, I've had to restart at least a dozen times. I somehow went from being a headlining musician to unemployed caregiver to an award-winning radio host to being laid off from said radio job to starting my own company. You see, life is far from linear. There are tons of highs and lows. Just when you think something can't get any worse, it absolutely can. But at the same time, just when you think something can't get any better, it absolutely can as well. Opportunities are going to be thrown at you, and many times you're going to wonder if you're ready for it. There's a quote that's attributed to Sir Richard Branson saying, "If somebody offers you an amazing opportunity, but you're not sure you can do it, say yes, then learn how to do it later." That's improvising 101. Another great quote is from renowned jazz violinist Regina Carter. I sat in on a panel she was talking on once, and she said there are many ways around a roadblock. Sometimes you just got to get out of the car and get stepping. Would it be easier to take a car? Sure. But when you're stuck at a roadblock in life, are you going to sit in your metaphorical car and wait for somebody to clear your path? Or are you going to find a way to keep going because you know you have places you need to be? Even back when I was here at FDR, I knew I had to be in the arts. It's an amazing domino effect that's happened stemming from being here at FDR. My time in sound crew with Mr. Edgerton led me to pursue live sound and studio production. Mrs. Martin recommended the College of St. Rose to me to study music industry after a couple of friends who graduated before me started attending the college and praised the program. Then with American Studies, is American Studies still a class here? Anybody still in it? I'm so sorry. But I don't know what the capstone is for American Studies now, but when I was going through it, it was to do a documentary project. Prior to that class, I had very little experience in film and video editing. That class was the catalyst for me producing video content. You know, I look back at the work I did at that class, and what took me months would only take me a couple of days today. Though all these different things kicked my butt back in the day, it inspired me and it laid the groundwork for the things that I love doing now. And going back to the sentiment of going places you know you need to be, it's not going to be easy to get to all those places. In college, when I didn't have a car, I'd walk for hours to play only a couple songs at an open mic. I got lost taking all the wrong buses to get to gigs. I play shows to only a bartender and no one else. I went door to door asking for votes for a national talent competition, which I won, by the way, but Lord, was that tough. And I really wouldn't like to go back to that. One time during an audition, I was told that my music was too depressing. So that night I went home and within 30 minutes, I wrote my song, Yes. That song 2 years later went to number 2 on the independent radio charts, along with receiving 3 award nominations, and I got to play it on national TV. You see, it only takes one moment to turn your life around. It only takes one smile to forget you ever frowned. After 1,000 no's, it only takes one yes. To paraphrase the great philosopher Jimmy Buffett, sorry, some of you are probably too young for that reference. To paraphrase the great musician Jimmy Buffett, some of it's magic, some of it's tragic, but you'll have a good life along the way. There are 3 rules that my college roommates and I came up with. They're perfect for improvising, and they're just perfect for living through life. If you do these 3 things each day, you're going to have a hell of a skill set, a hell of a career, and a hell of a fulfilled life. Those 3 things are: be present, be consistent, and keep an open heart. First of all, be present. One of the biggest rules of improv acting is yes and. You never say no. The idea is that improvisers should accept what another performer offers and build upon it. How can you build upon a moment if you're not paying attention to what's going on around you? Be present. Secondly, be consistent. And I don't mean that you have to be consistently amazing all the time. Be consistent in your craft, whatever that might be. Show up for yourself. Even on the days where you're tired or unmotivated, you're going to be grateful that you got up and did whatever you needed to do. Success isn't made overnight. It's by chiseling away a little bit each day. Going back to improv,
Improv practice helps players trust their instincts, make decisive moves, and avoid hesitation in critical moments. And you know what they say, practice makes perfect. Be consistent. And lastly, keep an open heart. How are you supposed to connect with the audience if you're shut off to everybody? One of the greatest things about the arts is its ability to express emotions greater than any other form of communication known to man. I'll never forget my last show here at FDR. It was Mary Poppins. I was playing George Banks and my best friend Harrison was playing Bert the Chimney Sweep. Two of us only shared one scene in the entire show together, but that one scene was so emotionally charged that it was one of our favorite scenes ever. It was very akin to the Grinch's heart growing three sizes. Bert was reminding Mr. Banks about his inner child, and there was a stillness to the audience. You could hear a pin drop, and the emotion was palpable. Both Harrison and I have gone on to do plenty more shows, especially in regional, community, and professional arenas, but we always go back to that scene. The stillness, the emotion, and the connection to the audience and to each other. When you keep an open heart, you're able to empathize, and you're able to connect with the world around you. And through that connection, you can and will build upon what's already there. Keep an open heart. I'll leave you guys with this last story. The second to last show that I ever did here at FDR was a play called Musical Comedy Murders of 1940. During the first act, the power was supposed to go out. It's opening night, and we're just about to the part where the power is supposed to go out, and all of a sudden, everything shuts off. Most of my fellow actors figured it was just that the crew hit their cue a little too early, but since I was well-versed in live sound, I realized that the speaker system had clicked off. This power outage was real. We all try to go through the scene as best as possible, and we work off of each other. Well, that is until our director stands up in front of the crowd and tells everybody that a tornado is going through town, and that everybody should remain in the auditorium, and we will resume the show when the weather subsides. Once she's done saying this, all the actors didn't know what to do on stage. You know, majority of the cast went to the dressing rooms, not me. Looking to ease the audience in a serious and potentially dangerous situation, I look out to the crowd and I yell, "So, you guys enjoying the show?" Which got some awkward chuckles from the crowd. A friend of mine yells out, "Happy birthday, Connor," since my birthday was just a couple of days before. That was that 45th birthday cake I was mentioning earlier. I thank them. But I stayed in character and I told them I had no idea who Connor was. And instead, I just started to flirt with them because, well, my character in the show was a flirt. At this point, it became a one-man show of me interacting with the crowd, keeping them company and entertained during this impromptu intermission. Eventually, one of my castmates comes out and scolds me, telling me that I had to get off stage. I yelled out, "Why? I'm making new friends!" Which, at that point, the audience started cheering and laughing. My cast member grabbed me by the jacket and dragged me off stage. If they had a cane, they would have used that to pull me right off. At that point, I received the first standing ovation of my life. Go figure. So you're probably wondering, Connor, what's the point of all these stories? Well, sometimes the power's going to go out. Sometimes you're going to be left in the dark. Sometimes somebody's going to be eating a sandwich in the bathroom. Sometimes you're going to be left not knowing what to do. But if you roll with the punches, take everything in stride, learn to improvise, and choose to be present, be consistent, and keep an open heart, you're going to be just fine. And hey, when in doubt, you can always talk about the book. Congratulations to each and every one of you, and I'm excited for all the incredible things you do in the future. And that's a wrap on this week's episode. Much love to our sponsors this week, Impact PR and Communications, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County, Locks That Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, Walsh Valuation, and Day Rock. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fund Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon. You can support this channel by becoming a Patreon member with memberships as low as $5 a month. With that, you can get behind-the-scenes content, your name featured in the credits of each episode, and access to the Spend Some Time chat. You can find that and more by scanning the QR code on your screen or by going to the links in the description. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, and I'm glad we get to spend some time.